Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, we have Gigi Ashworth of Gigi Eats Celebrities, and I'll let you go to her blog, her website, gigieatscelebrities.com, and check her out. She's fantastic, and you will fall in love with her. She's just so full of energy, and what we end up talking about today is something that's become near and dear to her. She's got pretty much every conceivable stomach gut issue you can imagine, from IBS to Crohn's disease, celiac, ulcerative colitis, and a host of just food intolerances as well. And I knew I was excited already to have her on the show. And then when we started talking about the fact that, you know, she has so much to share from personal experience, and this stuff started as early for her as age 14. We talk about that in the interview. I knew that this was going to be valuable. What happened is once we got into the talk, I realized we were barely scratching the surface. And since gut health, it really is the center of everything. And our gut health affects how we feel across the board. It also is going to affect our performance in the gym, ultimately. I realized that we really needed to have her back on the show. And so this is going to be the first of, I can't tell you how many, but it'll probably be at least three or four more episodes where we go into this in more of a deep dive. In other words, let's talk about what each of these different conditions are. Again, we talk about IBS, Crohn's, celiac, ulcerative colitis, and then food intolerances. Not only what are they, how can you identify them? How can you prevent them? Again, we talk about food as medicine. This is not the only guest we've had on the show that has talked about this. This is becoming a bigger and bigger topic. I think more and more individuals are understanding that they've been living with gut issues without even realizing it. And then when they get past it, they realize, oh my God, life can be so much better when I have changed my eating lifestyle. And it doesn't mean going to a life of, you know, boiled kale and plain chicken. Please don't delude yourself. There's a whole world of amazing foods that you can eat, and you can be enjoying life without walking around with stomach issues and hives and headaches and so on. So I know you're really going to learn a lot and certainly walk away very energized and wanting to check out Gigi's blog. She is one of our earliest Fitfluential ambassadors. It was the first time she and I had talked live, even though I feel like we've known each other forever. So it was really cool for she and I to connect. She also is somebody who really is not just talking the talk. I mean, she knows her stuff. She has her master's in nutrition. She's got a fantastic blog. I'm looking at it right now. Amazing content. And, you know, you guys, you just have to check it out. Here's a little brief blurb from her blog, actually. It says, Gigi, a former competitive snowboarder and horseback rider, has since become a popular allergen-friendly cook and certified nutrition with a master's degree in nutrition communications. This vlog is a place where, she does a lot of video, by the way, which she's fantastic, is a place where people with diet concerns can get advice, such as traveling with food intolerances. We should do a whole episode on that, along with allergen-friendly recipes that everyone can enjoy. A self-proclaimed extreme eater who can eat 6 pounds of salmon in one sitting and a foodie fanatic, Gigi is proof that you can educate and inform as well as entertain at the same time. You're gonna love this show, so sit back, relax, and enjoy this chat with Gigi Ashworth. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and I am so stoked to have Gigi Ashworth of Gigi Eats Celebrities. I just freaking love the name of her site. She's one of our first Fitfluential ambassadors from the early days, and we are going to have an outstanding show today. She and I, to be real, got on and started just yakking, girl talk about everything, And I swear, I think we've been talking for like 45 minutes before we even started the show. I'm just such a huge girl fan of this woman, and I can't wait for you to get to know her. Gigi, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kelly. I feel like I've, as you said, been talking to you for the past 45 minutes to an hour. So I'm like, okay, let's just keep on going with the conversation.
And sometimes I feel like I almost as a backup, because I'm always telling my guests when I'm talking to them, like, by the way, I'm not recording now. Like sometimes I almost say we should record it because some good stuff comes out of it. But of course I would tell you if I was recording. But,
that's actually what I do when I film Gigi Eats Celebrities videos. I always just record everything because you never know what golden material you're going to get when you, quote, don't think the camera's rolling. So
I can only imagine. And for everybody that's listening too, you know, I referenced that Gigi, she really was one of our first in the early years. Fitfluential started in 2011, and we were joking about, like, back in those days, I hand recruited our bloggers and our YouTubers. I walked up to, you know, some of them, and I remember it was at FitBloggin', and I'm like, hey, I'm starting this club. And, you know, they're like, what is this now? And I did. It was like one by one. And then fast forward to today, there's thousands of them, and I don't know half of them. And it was a weird transition, but there's certain people like Gigi where I feel like I know her, but yet today was the first day we actually talked live, and it feels like we've known each other anyway. So it's all good. And I'm just so excited to have you on the show because you're so awesome. You're so creative. You're so fun. Your site is amazing. People are going to love clicking through and checking you out. But I also love what we're going to talk about today, because so much of what we're going to cover a little bit later in the show are, for lack of a better way of saying it, let's use the umbrella of gut health and gut issues. I firmly believe that so many people are suffering from gut issues and probably don't realize it. I certainly was one of them that didn't give enough attention to the stomach problems I was having. And now that I have improved the way I eat and have changed the way I eat, according to my intolerances, according to my hormones and so on, it's a whole different life. And I so want to bring attention to this. So I'm very excited. But first, I'd love for you, Gigi, to tell folks, since this is your first time on the show, I always ask people to share their story of when they first got interested in either eating healthier, becoming more fit. Like, when did fitness and living that lifestyle start for you, and why was that?
Well, I have to say that food and fitness and health have always been a part of my life because my mom is a doctor. So she always was talking about nutrition, healthy eating, healthy living, exercising. Initially, I always remember her when I was younger, like doing all those quote fad diets. Like she would always eat Air Pop popcorn or the rice cakes or whatever. However, I have to admit that my mom was doing the paleo ketogenesis diet since 17, 18 years ago. So wow. She's been doing it before anybody else was ever talking about it. And she was always living this high protein lifestyle, always eating a high fat diet. And everyone else was poo-pooing such ideas because they thought, oh, heart attacks and, oh, you know, high protein diets are going to clog your arteries or something of that nature. But now, exactly, all the cholesterol is terrible for you kind of thing. But, you know, there are two types of cholesterol, guys. That being said, it's just so interesting to read journal articles, periodicals these days that are, you know, debunking the myths of high cholesterol being terrible for you and heart attacks resulting in a high fat diet or because of a high fat diet. And I'm like, my mom was right the whole time, which, you know, there's that quote about, you know, your mom's always right. Well, my mom was always right. My mom has always instilled healthy living in my life or in my mind. That being said, I was this rebellious young girl who would always eat, you know, the pastas and the breads and the carbohydrates of any sort because my father loves food and loves to cook and he loves French cuisine. He is all about the French cuisine and I happen to be French and my mom was born and raised in France. So that's why he fell in love with her kind of thing. So he was on the side of, I'm going to cook everything in goose fat and make pasta every night. And my mom was over here, oh, I need to eat eat my high protein, all the vegetables in the world. So they had such conflicting views in nutrition. And of course, being a younger girl, I'm like, well, of course I'm going to go eat the pastries and the pasta because that's delicious and I don't care about my health. But then my health bit me in the ass because I went to boarding school for professional snowboarding at the age of 14. When I was there, I have to exert a lot of energy hiking the half pipe and snowboarding all day, every day. And I started to really not feel good living the way that I was living. And my mom immediately was like, it's all about your diet. Your diet's not right. You need to clean up this. And she sent me this diet book. I don't like to call it a diet book because she wouldn't never really send me like one of those that was like, oh, eat this way and this way. It was more of just a book about living a lifestyle, incorporating healthy foods into it, lower carbohydrate, higher protein, higher nutrition density, that sort of thing. And it really resonated with me. And I started eating, you know, a little bit healthier, not anything crazy. I was still eating granola and milk and all that kind of stuff because that's like what was offered at school. But I was starting to feel a little bit better, but not great. And then eventually my mom was like, look, you know, maybe you should get some blood tests done and see, you know, what could be causing such issues. And obviously back then food allergies and intolerances and stuff like that was not a big thing. So when I was 15, I got all those tests done and they determined that I had celiac and Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. And then they also diagnosed me with IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, which no one really ever heard of back then either. Along with a whole host of other issues that, you know, are just absolutely wonderful. So I won the lottery in terms of digestive issues. That being said, you know, I started incorporating different ways of living into my life to see what worked, what didn't, you know, went through a bout of anorexia because I had no idea what to eat, you know, all those sorts of things. But, you know, I know a ton of girls go through anorexia when they're younger. I was able to get myself out of it. I never had to go to, you know, a psychologist or anything like that to help me get out of my dangerous way of eating. That being said, I definitely was sent to the hospital at one point and they like wanted to put me on bed rest, but I refused because I feel like I was sort of acting out in a way as well because I just wanted to go home because I didn't want to be at boarding school anymore. So I got what I wanted and I got to go home and my dad fed me his amazing cuisine. However, he modified it so it was GG, quote, approved, if you will, because of my celiac and Crohn's. However, when I was 21 years old, I actually had something called acecal volvulus, which means I had my large intestine twist into a knot unexpectedly in the middle of the night one night, and it felt like I was dying. Like it felt like someone was stabbing me a billion times over, and I had no idea what was going on. And I wound up going to the hospital and having emergency surgery, and I had my entire large intestine removed.
Oh my God.
And I remember my doctor saying, oh, you're never going to have any more digestive issues. You're going to be perfect. And what a crock of shit that was. Let me just tell you. Cause it was worse. That being said, I have since felt like I have gotten a grasp on, how to live to feel my best. Of course, every day I always have a little weird pain because the food in the United States is so tainted that you never really know what you're eating. Even if they say it's gluten-free or whatever, you just don't really know. You can't really trust everybody. But, since then I got my master's in nutrition. I had studied about this lifestyle and nutrition and health for the past 17 years. So I feel very well versed in the area. And I just love reading about and seeing how food really affects every single thing you do, everything from your hair, skin, nails, to how you're thinking, to your energy levels, to your digestion. I mean, your gut is where everything is. Like your gut is your brain pretty much, because if you have an unhealthy gut, you're going to get sick all the time. You're going to feel bloated and disgusting, and you're going to, you know, have to run to the bathroom all the time, or you're going to just feel stuffed up because you're constipated. So it's just so interesting, fascinating, whatever word you want to put on it. It's just, I just love it so much. And the fact that people in the Fitfluential community also really love this topic. It was so wonderful to become a part of the Fitfluential community in like the beginning of 2012. I remember when I got accepted, I was so excited. Because initially I wasn't accepted because my blog was
really
a WordPress.com blog. And it was like, it was a cruddy blog. It was super congested with all this stuff. Like, it was just ugly. It was gross. So I had my blog completely revamped. I hired someone to do it who I still talk to today, by the way, and she helps me with anything that I need. And then when I revamped my blog, you guys accepted me, no problem. And since then, my life, like in terms of the blogging world, has completely changed too. And I met so many people and some of my best friends. Like, four of my bridesmaids were bloggers who are my best friends. And I've only met them like twice, but we text message and email each other all the time. Thus, they feel like best friends. Like people I've met. So you guys have changed my life. And that's just how my life revolves around nutrition and health. So there you go.
Honestly, though, I mean, I took so many notes and you said so many cool things. And I will say probably my first reaction is, how amazing is it that you had this awful situation present itself, you know, from a health perspective at such a young age, you know, 14, 17. I mean, I've had major health issues, and whereas it sounds like you went through the proverbial drive-through of like health.com, and you're like, and as far as stomach issues, you said, I'll take one of everything. I always reference that about myself. I'm like, I went through the hormonal drive-through, and I said, I'll take one of everything. Adrenal fatigue, Hashimoto's, low testosterone, high progesterone, estrogen issues, you name it, I'll take it. Thanks so much.
Girl, I'm an all or nothing person, so you better hand all of the problems to me.
I'm the same way. And yet you did it at such a young age. And then you chose not only to address it, but then you got your master's in nutrition, and now you're living your life sharing what you've learned with other people. I mean, honestly, if that's not the definition of Fitfluential, I don't know what is. So I really seriously commend you on that. And certainly when you and I were chatting before the show, I think you're somebody, there's not many guests I've had on the show that I wouldn't want to have back on, but I definitely want to have you back on because I see this more and more, and we've had some great guests on the show, but I see more and more people where I'm talking to where they've had these very serious, whether it's Crohn's or celiac, IBS, or, you know, a combo like you've got, yeah. Or that you've had, or they're just dealing with so many gut issues and they don't know it and they're so confused. And, you know, if you go to a regular doctor, many of them are just going to give you, you know, something that's either going to make those symptoms worse. They might not know how to identify it. And so much can be healed with food, how and what you eat. So gosh, there's so much that we can start talking about here. And I anticipate this could be a part two and a part three. So I'm just putting that out there as we start to chat. What I loved that you said too is, you know, at the end, food affects everything in how you feel. And then what I wrote is kind of, you were saying food's like your brain. It's almost like for everybody listening, start to think about your gut, right? And all that, when we say, I'm using air quotes here, that your gut entails. Your gut is the center of everything. And food, what you put into your gut, is going to determine how you feel, how you look, what results you're going to get, you know, with your fitness pursuits. It really is of utmost importance. And everything in our body is connected. So it's super important, even if you think, and I'm going to ask you up front, this is going to be my first question, Gigi. Would you agree? I kind of feel like more people than not probably have some sort of food intolerance or food issues. They might not have the conditions that you have, the IBS, the Crohn's, the celiac, the ulcerative colitis. But I think more people have food and gut issues than they know about. And they really don't even know they should be looking at the fact that, hey, I burp all the time. And nobody wants to talk about these things because they're funny and embarrassing, right?
Yeah. Like,
they're passing gas all the time. They're bloated. They're never comfortable. They don't want to be intimate with their partner, right? Because they're always bloated. They're always gassy. They're constipated. They have diarrhea, whatever it is. people don't want to talk about those things because they're uncomfortable. But I think it's indicative of the case that so many people probably have gut issues. Do you agree?
I could not agree more. If you could see me via video right now, I'm over here like shaking my head, nodding. I'm like, there's so much nonverbal communication over here because I couldn't not agree more. And the biggest issue is the quality of food in the United States, because I have examples. When I travel abroad, I feel 20 times better. And then really? When I come back to the United States, I go through this like week or two where my body is like readjusting to the crappy food that is California or United States or whatever. And it's night and day. I specifically remember one trip when I went to New Zealand and Australia, like I never felt bloated. I was going to the bathroom regularly. I just felt so light on my feet and wonderful. And then I came back to California and I wanted to throw up and was nauseated like for 2 weeks and just felt awful, even though I was eating within the parameters of my dietary restrictions and everything. Like I went over to New Zealand and whatever. It's not like I was eating bread or anything like that, but I was, you know, eating just my normal diet and lots of it because I eat a lot of food, let's be honest. But then coming back to me too. I'm upset. I'm like, ooh, what am I going to eat for lunch today?
Exactly. When I finish with lunch, I'm thinking about my snack. When I'm finished with my snack,
girl, you better believe it. My life just food. But then I come back to the States and I have these prolonged periods of like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. And then, so something you mentioned prior to me answering your question was about the doctors, going to doctors because you feel like you need help and then they prescribe you something that makes you feel worse or whatever. So I actually, every so often when I came back from these trips, I'd feel so bad for such a long time that I would try and go seek out doctor advice. Cause I'm like, I don't know what else is going on. Like there, a doctor needs to help me because I just felt like I was at my wit's end. And I remember going to this doctor about 3 years ago. And he was a great doctor, great GI. He definitely listened to everything. I'm not afraid to talk about, you know, pooping and whatever. So like that, those are not taboo topics for me. I literally talk about shit all the time. So anyways, he prescribed me medication. So the first medication he prescribed me, which I had heard of, but I was a little wary of because I do not do prescription medication. He prescribed me Linzess. And I took it and I even wrote a journal about how I was feeling, all my symptoms, everything like that. And for like the first 3 days, I felt like, wow, I'm taking consistent shits. This is wonderful. I've never felt less bloated before, aside from when I was, you know, out of the country. This is wonderful. But then it started having adverse effects. I was getting more bloated. I had a lot more pain in my stomach. And I was like, well, this isn't working anymore. So I went back to him and I was like, nope. And I like threw this medication in his face. And then he gave me Amitiza. And Amitiza is another one that helps you, you know, move your bowels or whatever. And this one you take twice a day. So I went home the next day, I took it. And within 2 hours, I remember driving on Vine Street. It's in Los Angeles. And I pulled over into the parking lot of a FedEx and I just started crying. Like I had no purpose in life. I was the most depressed, miserable person on the face of the planet. And if you know me, I am the most positive, upbeat, happy person on the face of the planet, regardless of my symptoms of, you know, celiac and Crohn's or whatever. So this was insane for me. And then after my like uncontrollable crying decided to stop for a hot minute, I was like, oh my God, the connection to this pill. Thankfully, I come from this medical background with my mom that I could make that 2 and 2 connection. Thus, I called my doctor immediately and I'm like, is depression part of this Amitiza symptom, list of, you know, negative symptoms or whatever? And he was like, I've never heard of that before. And I'm like, no, it is. Put that on your roster of symptoms that are negative when people take Amitiza. I am not taking this medication ever again. I would rather have my stomach issues. So the sad thing and what I want to really pinpoint is there's a lot of people out there who think their doctor is 110% correct. Thus, they take the medication and then they feel these symptoms of depression, but don't put two and two together. Yep. Thus, they go back to their doctor and their doctor prescribes them some sort of medication to make them happier. And then they're taking so many different medications when really what they could be doing is taking a natural approach and really looking at their diet and what they're eating and maybe get, you know, a skin test or a blood test to determine if they have intolerances or allergies. Going a different approach, not necessarily believing the first doctor they go to. And that's something I want to strongly emphasize. Obviously, I'm not ever going to say don't go to a doctor because doctors do have an importance in people's lives. But don't just go to one doctor and do your research before you go to said doctors.
Oh, I love everything you said. And I couldn't agree more. I've certainly had my own experience both with prescription drugs, more on the hormonal side, but that is one of the things that I want to strongly reinforce again and again and again here on Fit Fluential Radio, on our site, on all of our platforms going forward, is become your own health advocate. I mean, I view us as you know, hey, it's my job and it's my passion to get great people on the show, real people, practitioners, authors, and folks that can present a lot more evidence for everyone's consideration, but then go out and do the research. And ultimately you do have to, each one of us has to go, okay, this is what I'm taking out of this and where I feel led to, like this resonates with me. This is what I'm going with. It's like, there's not necessarily a one size fits all. There certainly are themes in what you said. In other words, food absolutely is medicine. Adjusting your food and paying attention to your food and the quality of your food. I love that you brought up the quality of the food in the United States. That can be a whole topic. I think that could be a whole show. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, we're here and this show and future shows are here to present a lot of information. But yes, everybody, understand that when you go to a doctor, you are paying them. You are paying them. They work for you. It is your job and it is your opportunity to ask questions and push back. It doesn't make you a bad person. For all the people pleasers like me out there, I call myself a recovering people pleaser. I have a great doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring here in, I almost said Chicago. I have to remember I live in Austin now. and he's been interviewed on the show. In fact, he and I are going to be doing a whole series. And when I go meet with him, he'll typically see me on my quarterly visits for an hour and a half. And I'll ask him everything and I'll push back and I'll say, well, what about this? I've read this. And it's a dialogue. It's not a lecture. And I couldn't respect anybody more. He's changed my life. He's a rare bird. I hope that we can, you know, take the generation, the few people like him, and develop a new generation of empowered, educated, more informed doctors. It doesn't mean that the doctors out there are, I don't mean to suggest they are misinformed or that they're bad guys, but that's the way that they were taught in medical school.
Exactly.
That's the way the business was set up to support, you know, the pharmaceutical space, and not all pharmaceuticals are bad. Sometimes they can serve a purpose, but I think most people, and here's another question for you. And then I do want to ask in this, I'm going to say this is our intro show, Gigi, because I do think you and I could do like a series on this.
Okay.
Later. No pressure, but we're going to do it.
Oh, girl, I'll do it. There is no pressure involved whatsoever. I am all for it.
Yeah, I think so. I need to make sure one of the next things I want to do is have you kind of just do a one-on-one intro into the IBS, Crohn's, celiac, because there's a lot of people listening where they've heard of it, but they really don't know what it is. But my first question is, you know, you talked about the quality of food in the United States versus overseas. And when you mean that, are we talking about, and we won't go into too much detail on this show, but are just for those folks listening, do you mean more like organic, non-GMO, or is it just in general, even when we're buying organic, it's not going to be as high quality? And it's because of the way, I mean, really, we see this in the cosmetic space as well. I mean, the things that companies can get away with as far as what they put into cosmetics and food, I know from, you know, the CPG industry, it's crazy. Whereas some ingredients are outlawed all over the rest of the world, but it's okay in the United States. Give those people anything.
So weird to me. And when I say food, I mean all food, organic, non-organic, GMO laced or non-GMO laced. everything is tainted because I have tried, like I use myself as my own guinea pig, as everybody should themselves. And I've tried everything. And when I say everything, I mean, I've gone the all organic approach. I've gone the non-organic approach. I've gone the GMO approach, the non-GMO approach. You know, there's so many different things. Regardless of what the food is, I always feel a little off. Now, that being said, my current diet, which is consisting of lots and lots of salmon, is the best for me. I feel the absolute best with the current way that I live. That being said, there are moments where I definitely wake up the next morning or a few hours after I eat, I do not feel good, even though I literally ate the exact same thing the day before. So there is something going on in the food industry that we just are not aware of. Maybe they spray the food with something specific that, you know, they don't, the FDA hasn't regulated yet or something of that nature, but all food is tainted. That's all I have to say. Like it's baffling and we don't know the truth. And the sad thing is we'll never know the truth, which is why I always tell people, you know, use yourself as a guinea pig. There's no one size fits all situation here. So you're going to have to just keep on testing the waters and see what works for yourself. And by the way, you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. There are a lot of people that I help with, you know, they're newly diagnosed with these autoimmune diseases, which by the way, it's been incredible to watch over the past 17 years, all of these autoimmune diseases pop up and you wonder why, because it's our food, because there's a lot less, you know, gluten intolerances and whatever. Overseas, but they adopt that mindset in restaurants these days purely because the United States is like a hot spot for gluten-free and dairy-free and blah, blah, blah. That being said, I do believe that most everybody has a dairy allergy, but they just are too in denial to actually admit it because they love ice cream and cheese so much. Just saying. But like even the littlest thing, like your ears get red after you eat cheese or dairy of some sort. You might look at that like, oh, whatever, my ears are just red. But that's an intolerance right there because it's inflammation and eventually it could get worse. So it's something to always monitor. But I've always believed that dairy is something that people should not include in their lives. That being said, with the one thing I have to be very thankful for with this, you know, new knowledge in the food space is the grass-fed and grass-finished animals. I've been eating grass-fed, grass-finished beef for the past, you know, 17 years since I was diagnosed with all my issues because my mom instilled such thoughts into my brain, and I believe everything my mom says. But it's true. So like people are like, I just can't live without dairy. I'm like, okay, well try including grass-fed, grass-finished, 100% free range. You have to make sure it says grass-finished on the label because all cows are grass-fed at a point in their lives. So anyone can get away with that. But otherwise I'm just like, you know, if you can, I would nix the dairy in general because everybody has some sort of adverse effect.
It's okay. So I agree with you. And it's interesting because, so let me do Kelly Alexa's sidebar here for everyone, because I always use myself as an example too, because I have learned so much and I feel so much better and I'm always a work in progress. We all should consider ourselves a work in progress. When we're talking about these kinds of topics, you know, gut health, it's not something you're going to like go through a detox 1 week and you're better. You will, as Gigi mentioned, you'll tweak and you'll figure your body out. And the more in tune with your own body that you can become, you'll learn. Like I've learned, for example, there was a time period where I had cut out foods. I was really getting good on being paleo and I got very scared. You can get kind of scared food fears, right? Like, oh my God, I can't have an ounce of that. Or, oh my God, I've ruined everything. And my trainer Blaine makes fun of me all the time. He's like, you're slightly obsessive, just a little bit. I'm like, no, I'm not. Well, yes, I am. And I'm working on it, but I have learned I'll give an example. Typically things with sugar, I have now seen that what they do is sugar gives me headaches immediately and bloating. But yet, for example, the man friend and I went out for dinner last weekend and we were at this restaurant. We both got fish, great fish. And then we split this amazing apple. I don't even know what it was. It was in a cast iron thing with, it was apples and cobbler and ice cream on the top. Now, I've kind of been sharing with him about dairy. So I didn't have as much of the dairy. That was so good. Didn't have side effects from that. If I eat crappy package, like, I'm not going to lie, there may or may not have been a time in the past 2 or 3 weeks where I had packaged brownies and fake frosting out of a can. I'm not going to lie, out of a can, because it's old Kelly cravings. And I'm like, I'm going to have this. I was so sick from the crappy package. So I know that, like, sugar in general, bad for me, gives me headaches. But it's like, if I have a quality piece of cake that's made with the good ingredients, it doesn't have as bad of an effect on me. So I've learned that. But also back to, so for each one of us, it's going to be different. For sure, I recommend, I will reinforce what Gigi said about dairy. Everybody should start thinking about dairy and how it affects them. I know we all cling to it. I deal with this with my parents. Most people, like they said, they don't want to give up yogurt. They don't want to give up cottage cheese. They don't want to give up cheese. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to give it up forever, people. But I can tell you, if you're drinking skim milk or 2% milk, God love my parents, but like my parents, why would you not consider switching to almond milk, which tastes way better? There's so many alternatives, but I guarantee most people, if they went and dramatically cut back on dairy, they would probably see marked improvements in their skin. Did I say improvements? I don't even think that's a word. Improvements.
We got it.
In your skin, in your stomach. I mean, I used to, in my 20s, before I figured out that I had dairy issues, I am not exaggerating, people, because I'm not sponsored by the Dairy Association or anything. But when I was consuming a lot of dairy, and a lot of this was ice cream, this was in the era when TCBY was really big. So it was frozen yogurt, fat-free yogurt. This is when the fat-free phase came out. So I was having copious amounts of TCBY, a lot of fat-free stuff, a lot of cottage cheese, a lot of yogurt, probably a lot of skim milk, and not quality anything. I would get so bloated that I remember specifically being in the grocery store with my friend. And just, my stomach was so bloated. And I thought, if I move, I'm either going to crap my pants or I'm going to have, like, a really embarrassing gaseous moment. This is like TMI, but I'm sharing it and I'm embarrassing myself for your education, people. I was in so much pain and I didn't know it at the time. It was from dairy. When I cut out most dairy, and then back to Gigi, what you said, now when I do consume dairy, it's the higher quality. I definitely have cheese. I don't have a lot of cheese. I know exactly how much cheese I can have and what kinds, so that I don't get too upset. For me, I can't have anything frozen. I can't have any kind of soft serve anything. I can't have cottage cheese. I can't have yogurt, or I will be ridiculously bloated. Other high quality dairy I can have, but I got to tell you, people, if you think that if you're walking around with bloating issues, constipation, diarrhea, just gas in general, think about dairy. And I encourage you to test it out. You've got nothing to lose and you have everything to gain, particularly being more comfortable.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
My last question, Gigi, is I want, this will be maybe our introduction to the second show. I'd love for you, I want you to just kind of go over, if you can, for folks that have, they've heard about Crohn's, celiac, maybe ulcerative colitis. That's a new one for me. Irritable bowel syndrome. Are these things, so these are, would you say, are these autoimmune disorders, all of them? Are these things that are inherited, or are these things that are caused primarily by what we eat?
You know, both of, you could say that they're both inherited and they're caused by what you can eat, because more and more people are being diagnosed with celiac and Crohn's, but no one else in their family ever had it. Huh. So I think, again, it relates back to the food issue that we have here in the States, or I guess around the world, because I'm sure other people in other countries are being diagnosed as well. So I think it really relates more in regards to the food, and if you keep eating the same foods over and over and over again, because I know for a fact when I was a younger little girl, I used to eat a lot of pasta and bread, and that was literally my diet. Thus, basically karma came, bit me in the ass, and was like, you're not allowed to eat any more bread anymore. Sucks to be you. But to be honest, I don't miss it at all, so I'm okay with that. The ulcerative colitis, though, is a little bit different. It's when your intestines basically attacks you in a certain way. The foods that you eat really cause a lot of inflammation on the lining of your intestines. And it just causes so much pain because it causes these little pockets in your intestine. And sometimes surgery is the only way to get rid of these pockets. But thankfully for me, I have not resorted to surgery at this point. And it also is thankful that I have no large intestine, so it can't be affected in there. But it's typically in the small intestine, though, too. So I do have cases sometimes. That's why I can't like eat nuts and seeds and that sort of thing. Although nuts, I have an actual allergy because I once blew up into a balloon and it was really sexy. But also,
I should laugh, but that just sounded funny.
No, it's okay. By all means, I'm laughing too, because I remember how crazy my face looked, because I actually didn't know I had an allergy in that respect to nuts. I thought that it was only because of this, the ulcerative colitis, which is why I was ignoring them and not incorporating them in my life. But I was filming this cooking video with a friend of mine, and she's a vegan, and I am definitely not a vegan because I can't eat that lifestyle or else I would like die pretty much. Because vegan food is pretty much everything that my body can't handle, except I can eat some vegetables, but whatever. Anyways, she was like, we need to put almond milk in this recipe. And I was like, almond milk? I mean, like, that's a milk. I'm sure it won't really, you know, hurt me too badly. I'll just take a bite on camera just to make it look like, good, but I won't go overboard. I took one bite of this dip she made and she left, and I started editing this video because that's my personality. I always get right to the editing, and I started experiencing cold-like symptoms, like my face and my nose was running and my eyes are watery and I'm sneezing, and it was crazy. And then I had a meeting. I had like an audition to be this on-camera talent for a TV show or whatever. And I went to it, and I was like, do you have any tissues? And I was sneezing like crazy, and my makeup was running down my face, so I did not look attractive. Needless to say, I did book it, so you know. I guess I didn't look that bad. But then I got in the car, and I broke out in hives. So that was interesting. And then later that night, I was the guest of honor at this Taiwanese dinner. And I wasn't going to eat anything because they did not have food that I could eat. But I had to go with my friend, and it was in the middle of nowhere. And we drove out there together. And I wound up hanging out in the bathroom the entire time, scratching myself, having hot flashes, being really heavy breathed because I like could barely breathe. And I was freaking out at the same time because I had never really experienced anything like this before. And so my friend came into the bathroom being like, they're looking for you, okay? And I look like a tomato, a plumped up tomato at this point. And I'm like, I need to get an Uber. I think my Uber was like $100 to get back to my place, but I don't care because I like needed to get out of there. So I don't know what the point of that was. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, okay. It was about nuts, eating nuts and my ulcerative colitis. That being said, you know, it's to be determined as to whether or not ulcerative colitis is a genetic thing or not. But I do know that my mom, I always joke that any problems my mom have, I am going to have. And let's be real, I have all of her problems. So like she had a longer than normal large intestine, as did I, which is why my doctors sometimes say that's part of the reason why my large intestine twisted into a knot. But, you know, part of it is also because it got aggravated and inflamed by, you know, foods that I shouldn't have been eating or something of that nature. Which is interesting because I was not eating any of the bad foods for me at the time of my cecal volvulus. So that just means my food was tainted in some sort of way and my body couldn't handle it. So yeah, my mom has all of the same sort of issues that I have. Thus, I feel like in my case, it was genetic. However, it was like it came on later in life, which is very confusing to me because, you know, when I was younger than, you know, the age of 14 or 13 or whatever, maybe I don't really recall whether or not I felt good or not, but I just know the stark difference, or maybe I just started to pay attention to how I felt when I went to boarding school. So it's very weird and interesting, and everyone has their own story, whomever is celiac and Crohn's, whoever has those symptoms or diseases or whatever you want to call them. So it's really hard to say.
Well, you know what? I think the takeaway is I'm always, whenever I'm interviewing people and even when I'm doing like my own shows, I'm just thinking about where I used to be and things that I didn't know. And I always try to put myself in the mind of our listeners that somebody might be like, you know, if they haven't known somebody or read a blog of somebody that has this, it might be like, well, I've heard of that, but what's that like? Is that, you know, something that is just inherited? Well, I mean, ultimately, I think what we're seeing here, and I've known enough people who have been diagnosed young. You know, in fact, my man has Crohn's. A friend of my sister has Crohn's. A friend of my mom's has Crohn's disease. I have quite a lot of people in my life that have Crohn's and that are living with it in different respects. We've also had another guest on the show. I cannot know why I am out completely going blank, but we'll link him up in the show. He as well, I believe, had most of his large intestines removed. And yet, here's what I want to say. For everybody listening, if you suspect you may have one of these more serious conditions like IBS, Crohn's, celiac, ulcerative colitis, or maybe you know it and you're very discouraged and frustrated, or if you just know, wow, I just have, you know, an upset stomach, I deal with stomach issues all the time. What I can tell you is, and I'm sure that when we're linking up, because in a second, Gigi, I want you to tell people where to find you online. If you look up, I want to encourage you in this. You can have a lot of gut issues. You can have a lot of gut issues that you need to address, but don't think about, and it's the same advice I give to people when you're thinking about losing weight. Don't look at it like, oh, well, I'm going to have to cut out all the things I love. Sometimes when I just go, I'll go on Instagram and put in a hashtag like, I'm not vegan by any means. I'll just hit vegan. There's a great magazine I ran into called Mantra. And again, it's a vegan yoga magazine. I'm not vegan. You just leaf through those and you see all of these like amazing, like acai bowls and whatever. I mean, there's so many food combinations and amazing recipes that talented folks like Gigi and others have come up with. There's just no excuse to not pursue eating better, testing out what works for you, because you can enjoy amazing foods still with cutting out the crap that could be right now making you miserable. Do you agree?
I totally agree. I honestly, truly agree on all counts of what you just said.
Yeah. Gigi and I are going to, for sure, Gigi, I think this could be like just talking about this topic, like at least a 2 to 3 show series. So I'll follow up with you on that. And for everybody listening, let's just look at this as episode 1 and to be continued. And we'll have those shows going live soon. One last point that I want to make, and then Gigi, I want you to tell folks where they can find you online so they can start following you and becoming obsessed with you. Gigi brought up earlier the prescriptions, you know, that she was going to her doctor and how, you know, she had all these side effects. And I strongly believe, because in my own experience with, you know, doctors putting me on the pill and having massive side effects, so many of us, whether it is a prescription drug from our doctor, whether it's antibiotics, whether it's something like Linzess, or I think you said Amitiza, I don't think any of us look at the side effects or listen strongly enough to these television ads for Humira or this or that. And they're like listing these side effects that may include death, by the way, like, oh, you won't have psoriasis anymore, but you could die. You might have an erection now, but you could die. I mean, like, what, isn't there something where somebody, most people would say, if you offered them, would you like to lose 10 pounds? You could die though. Most people would probably go, I'll keep the 10 pounds on. But we're not paying attention to the side effects. And people, I got to tell you, I used to be one of those people. I went on birth control. I was on, I've been on antibiotics since I was in high school, and I never paid attention to the side effects. I had most of those side effects. I did have migraines for the first time in my life from Loloestrin Fe, a birth control pill. I did gain 25 pounds in a month from Loloestrin Fe. I used to think when girls would say, oh, I've gained weight because of the pill, like, no, you didn't. You just need to work out. You can have serious, serious side effects from medication. And it's, again, it kind of goes back to what we started to talk about at the beginning of the show. Please start paying attention to how you feel. If you are walking around with hives or itchy skin or really dry throat or constant, you know, phlegm or you know, post-nasal drip or bloating or constipation or diarrhea, nobody wants to talk about this stuff, but get real. You don't have to feel that way. And most importantly, you shouldn't feel that way. And that's what we're going to educate on, not only in further discussions with Gigi, but with other guests that we have on the show. So, you know, everybody should be feeling better and living better. That's the goal of life, not just getting fit, but being healthy. So Gigi, we obviously went way over. Tell folks where they can find you online. And then of course we will have you back on the show as soon as possible.
Yeah. I'm excited to come back on the show because I have so much to talk about and I just want to say it all right now, but we can't. That being said, everyone can find me at GigiEatsCelebrities.com. I also have a YouTube channel and, you know, it's YouTube.com/GigiEatsCelebrities. And then on Instagram, you can see me at Gigi Eats. But really, you could just Google Gigi Eats and you would find me. Granted, you might also see Gigi Hadid up in there because she stole my name, but whatever. We don't have to talk about her.
We did barely scratch the surface today, but I think we have... I think we laid a good foundation. Like we did a good TV guide. This is like the trailer for the future Gigi and Kelly Talks. So Gigi, thanks so much for being on the show. I feel like we go way back. I mean, we do go way back, but now I feel like we're like truly besties after today. So I'm really excited to have you back on the show. For everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Of course, again, we will be having Gigi back on the show. If you have any particular questions you would like us to cover in this episode and as well when we have experts on, you know, maybe from the medical field on some of these topics, IBS, Crohn's, celiac, ulcerative colitis, please feel free to email us podcast@fitfluential.com and let us know. We'll keep your name anonymous unless you give us permission to use your first and or last name on the show. But those are ways that we can say, hey, this is what people are asking for us to make sure that we cover here as well as potentially in future Facebook Live. So make sure you can always email us podcast@fitfluential.com. Of course, everything here will be in the show notes at Fit Fluential Radio. And until next time, everybody, have a great rest of the week. Get comfortable doing research, becoming your own health advocate. It's the most important step you can take. We will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fit Fluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fit Fluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.